Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David Mercer, 12th Apostolic Church Attorney Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour, in the Elgin, Texas, today is September the 7th, 2023, or is the 23rd day of Elul, 2027. We're going to start our first service today with a song entitled, A Wonderful Savior, He Threw Me. A wonderful Savior is just arriving. A wonderful Savior to me. He hides my soul in the depths of the rock. There is a pleasure I see. Behold my soul, the cliff of the rock, the shadows of darkness still land. Behold my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers He lay with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Yahshua my King. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up and thus shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my faith. He holdeth my soul in the depth of the rock. The shadows of wrath are still land. He holdeth my heart in the depths of his love. Covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. With numberless blessings his glory crowned, and filled with his fullness divine. I sing in my rapture, O glory to Yah, for such a Redeemer as mine. He hideth my soul in the depth of the rock, shadows of wrath are still land. He holds my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. When truth in his brightness transported I rise, believing in the clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He holds my soul in the depths of the rock. The shadows of wrath are still land. He holds my heart in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand.
Now we Symbol of Faith. That's the title of our sermon today. It says, we're on the Shepherd's Rod, Volume 1 book, We're on page 118. The first portion of the spiritual food, of the truth, which we were to receive, represented by the wheat. The faith as taught by the Luther, as his doctrine was, the just shall live by faith. Well, let's do it again. The just shall live by the faith, or the just shall live by their faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the new and living way, Hebrews 10:19-20. For the wheat, which symbolized the doctrine Luther gave us, must be perfect in itself. To make a perfect symbol of that doctrine, note the truth of the wheat. It has always been used by all generations, and everybody uses it, and it is hard to get along without it. Just so, all must have the doctrine of the faith and the blood of the new covenant of the Yahshua. Without a faith in the blood, it is impossible to please Him. So the Bible says, not only Christians, but other religious they must have faith as well as they must have wheat. Even the infidel and the atheist must exercise faith in whatever he may believe. We can see that inspiration used the right kind of symbol to represent the doctrine of the faith. Barley. This is a doctrine as a symbol of the Spirit. It's a grain. The second portion of the food, or truth, that we were to get was represented by the barley. John Knox was the next man who made the second step by teaching the doctrine represented by the barley, which was the truth of the Holy Spirit. Barley is not so commonly or widely used as wheat. In fact, few people would use it, and at that, very seldom. Many people do not know what barley is. So with the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, while the doctrine of the Holy Spirit is believed by some Christians, it is not believed by others. Some do not understand what the truth of the Spirit is. Even as some do not know what barley is, so the symbol representing the second doctrine is perfect, even as the first. Gideon's experience with the Midianite dream of the barley cake overturning the tent proves the same. Read Judges chapter 7, verse 13-14. Beans. That's a doctrine. Symbol of grace. Beans are just as widely and commonly used by all the people and all generations, the same as wheat. John Wesley, the third man, Methodist, from New England, on the stage of the action as a great reformer, made the third step upward by the teaching of the doctrine of the grace, which was represented by the bean. All believed in grace, so much so that men no longer fear Yahweh and have declared His law void. He is too gracious and too merciful, they say, and as we are under grace, Yahweh will do neither good nor evil. This Christian, these days have perverted its true meaning, even as all of beings, and have perverted the proper name by calling them pork and beans. What more fitting symbol could have been chosen to represent the doctrine of grace than the one Yahweh has selected? Lentil type of doctrine of the baptism by the immersion. Lentils are used to represent the fourth portion of the truth, for the Alexander Campbell is credited with making the fourth step upward by the teaching of the doctrine of the baptism by the immersion, symbolized by the lentil. The variety of lentils representing the fourth doctrine, baptism by the immersion, is not known or used even as much as barley. So, with the truth of immersion, baptism by the immersion in the old-fashioned way is not generally practiced, even as lentils are not generally used. Again, Yahweh has used the right kind of symbol to represent this portion of the truth. Millet, another doctrine, symbol of the 2300 days, or the fifth portion of the truth, is represented by the millet, and the fifth reformer was William Miller. He taught the prophecy of the Daniel 8:14, which was the doctrine of the 2300 days. Millet is scarcely known, and those who do know what it is say it is of little worth, merely a wild grass with scarcely any forming value, and not desired by anybody. Nevertheless, it is a good cereal. Just so with the doctrine taught by the miller, no one has any use for it, and the Seventh-day Adventists are practically the only people who teach it. Those who do not accept this doctrine say it is good for nothing, and charge Miller as being a false prophet, though it is a wonderful prophecy and revealed a great truth, yet people will not accept it. It is good for nothing, with no spiritual value, and we have no need of it, is the cry. Again, the question is asked, could a better symbol than millet be found to represent the doctrine of the 2300 days? Spelt, symbol of the Sabbath, which is of the wheat family, and the connection with the sanctuary. The last cereal mentioned in Ezekiel's prophecy is spelt, which represents the sixth truth or doctrine, which is the Sabbath truth. And the light as given by Ellen G. White in connection with the heavenly sanctuary, the definition is spelled as in the margin according unto the standard dictionary, is as follows. A cereal intermediate between wheat and barley. It was the chief cereal of the ancient Egypt, being probably the rye of the time of the Moses, but cultivated now mainly in the Switzerland, the southern Germany, and northern Spain. Spelt as an ancient cereal, and in the ancient Egypt, in the days of the Moses, it was a type in the days of Joseph. So is the Sabbath, an ancient truth, which originated in the Garden of Eden and was the last recorded act of the creation. It was the truth in the days of the Moses, first man of the Bible, who instituted the Sabbath keeping, spelled as a little better known than millet, and has some farming value, but only in certain portions of the globe. Even as the Sabbath is better known than the 23 day, but any dare say these are not all perfect symbols, or that it is only a certain man's interpretation and only an accident or just happened and yet fit so perfectly, that this for only one phase has been explained, all in one vessel. So Yahweh said to the prophet Ezekiel, put them in one vessel. Ezekiel 4:9. That's Ezekiel 4:9. It will now be considered as to whether he really did put all these doctrines in one vessel. Luther believed in the doctrine he taught, but the great enemy flooded the church with deception, not with arguing the truth, but suggesting to the people that they now have all the truth and they surely were right. Thus hardening their hearts against more light. Soon additional truth came, but Satan had already flooded the church with his agent and prejudice, not but aroused against the new light. The result was that the majority turned down the truth. A few saw the light, and as the case generally is, they were voted out by the church. The sisters gave birth to a new movement or denomination. Such has been the experience with the church in each advancing truth up the line to our own time. And this manner of truth represented by the body, spirit, was turned down by those who had accepted the doctrine symbolized by the wheat, faith, Knox believed in all the truth he had and also all the truth Luther taught. Thus the wheat and the barley were in one vessel and carried to the second step. We must have the truth symbolized by the beans raised and presented by Wesley, who believed also in the truths previously taught by the Luther and Knox, which were represented by the wheat and barley. The third step was made, and the wheat, barley, and beans were in one vessel. Fourth truth was represented by the lentils, baptized by the immersion, and taught by the temple, who believed in the doctrine of the Luther, Knox, and Wesley. Thus the wheat, barley, beans, and lentils were carried to the fourth step and in the one vessel. The fifth truth, 2300 days, was represented by the millet. This step upward was made by the William Miller, who believed in all the truths symbolized by the wheat, barley, beans, and lentil. For the fifth step was made, and the five varieties of the food of truth were carried to in one vessel. We now come to the last variety of the spell, Sabbath, in connection with the judgment of the dead. First phase, and then the living, second phase. This is not a fact that the Seventh-day Adventist denomination believes in all these truths. The wheat, faith, body, Holy Spirit, beans, grace, lentils, the emergency, millet, 2300 days, spelt Sabbath, with the sanctuary truth. It will be noticed that Yahweh said, put them into one vessel. He did not say in two or more, but in one. There are no other people besides Seventh-day Adventists who believe in the 2300 days cleansing of the sanctuary, and it is this denomination vessel which teaches all the doctrines as represented by the six varieties of food. Thus the prophecy meets its fulfillment in the hour day. And we are amazed with the difficulty for the comprehending of His great wisdom and the Yahshua, or Yahweh, or Yahweh. For the body cake now is a subtitle for our next explanation of this doctrine. Yahshua told Ezekiel, thou shalt eat it as barley cakes. Ezekiel 4:12. Why the wheat, beans, lentils, millet, and spelt made as barley cake? Why not as wheat cake or cake of some of the other cereal? This truth of the Holy Spirit was represented by the barley, as explained on page 118. For this reason, Ezekiel was told to make it into a barley cake, meaning the truth came by the power of the Holy Spirit and not by the aid of men. I will lay bands up on thee. That's our next subtitle. Quoting Ezekiel 4:8, we read, and behold, I will lay bands upon thee, and thou shalt not turn thee from one side to another, till thou hast ended the days of thy seed. For the prophet was to lie on his left side 390 days. During this time he was to eat the varieties of the food. But why on the left side? Why not on the right? Because the symbol would not have been perfect had he lain on his right side while eating. The stomach of a man is shaped something like a crescent, with a narrow neck to the right as an outlet. If a man lies on his left side, the outlet is upward against the gravity, and consequently it could be difficult to empty itself, which would have caused the food to remain within it. Had it not been for the bands of Yahshua put around Ezekiel, he would have turned to his right side, thus spoiling the symbol. The meaning is that even though the great enemy tried to force out every truth by the prejudice and insinuations and casting out of the church those who were teaching these new truths as it has been in each instance in the past, yet Yahweh saw to it that every truth would remain until he has put them in the one vessel, and so it is, thou shalt drink also water. That's our next subtitle. Thou shalt drink also water by the measure, the sixth part of an hin, from time to time shalt thou drink. Ezekiel 4:11. Water, when taken, and gives life. Without it, existence would be impossible. Yahshua, speaking to the woman at the well, said, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him as a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John 4:14. For thy soul refers to the water as a symbol of the everlasting life, for the meaning of the symbol of the drinking of the water with the body taste is the soul were to be saved by each new truth, the spirit of the life. Meat, by the way, water by the measure. This is the next subtitle. It says, Ezekiel 4:10-11, and thy meat which thou shalt eat shall be by weight. Thou shalt drink also water by measure, for the measure and weight are symbols signifying that Yahweh will only give truth by measure, a little at a time. As the prophecy reads, from time to time shalt thou eat and drink. And also, and so has Yahweh given light a little at a time as we could grasp it. It has come in its exact biblical order. Faith, spirit, grace, baptism, time of the end, and the Sabbath rest. Abraham, the father of the faithful, is a symbol of the faith. Isaac, with the symbol of the spirit of the truth, as the Bible says, he was born after the spirit. Jacob, as the symbol of grace, for as he was a sinful man, had it not been for the grace of Yahweh, he could not have prevailed. For the Exodus movement is a symbol for the baptism. Or we read in 1 Corinthians 10:2, and we're all baptized into and unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, for the wilderness life is the symbol of the sanctuary question. For the wilderness life is the symbol of the sanctuary question at the end of the 2300 days. It was in the wilderness that the heavenly sanctuary was described by the earth. The promised land is a symbol of the Sabbath rest. And the promised land they were to rest had they driven out the heathen. If they'd driven out the heathen, they could have entered into a perfect, peaceful rest. But they wouldn't drive the heathen, the idolaters, out. So they didn't enter into his rest, and for that cause, the idolaters took them over. You cannot win if you choose to live among idolaters and tolerate them. You cannot win. You cannot come to perfection. You cannot come to sanctification. But because of the national pride and disbelief, they fail to obtain the promised rest. The disobedience of Israel in the promised land is a symbol of our failing to obey Yahweh at the present time. Explanation of the Ezekiel 4:12-14-15. Wonderful prophecy as it is, the saddest part now is to be told that the scriptures about to be quoted has perhaps never been read publicly or reproduced in any literature, but if it was never to be studied out, written in public or published, Yah would never have placed it in the Bible. However, it is there, no doubt, for a purpose and must be considered. For the quotations is found in Ezekiel 4:12-14-15 reads as follows. and thou shalt bake it with dung that cometh out of man in their sight. Then said I, O Lord Yahweh, and behold, my soul hath not been polluted, for from my youth up even till now have I not eaten of that which dieth of itself, or is torn in pieces. Now there came very abominable flesh into my mouth. Then he said unto me, Lo, I have given thee cow's dung for man's dung, and thou shalt prepare thy bread therewith. For the prophet was told that he could not use wood or coal to bake the cakes upon, but that he should use dung that cometh out of a man. To Ezekiel it was not too repulsive. It was too repulsive. And he pleaded to be excused. Yahweh made an allowance, not by the compulsion, but for the Ezekiel's sake only, by the telling Ezekiel to bake it with child's dung. For the 13th verse gives an explanation of the symbol as follows. And Yahweh said, Even thus shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread among the Gentiles. For the symbol is every portion of the truth that has come so far has been polluted, including the last one Sabbath. Note, notwithstanding all the instructions given us, line upon line and precept upon precept, the picture tells the story. Symbols do not lie. Instead of being offended because we are told of our failing, we should only praise Yahweh that in His mercy He has made a call for reformation, that we may not be left to perish in our sin, but are given an opportunity to choose whom we will serve. Well, the question may be asked, how have we polluted Yahweh's truth? Only one of the many references will be quoted here. Volume 1, pages 471, 472. A great mistake has been made by some who profess present truth by introducing merchandise in the course of a series of meetings. Ministers have stood in the desk and preaching most solemn discourse, and then by introducing merchandise and acting the part of a salesman, even in the house of Yahweh, the burden of the selling or publication should not rest upon the ministers who labor in the Word and Doctrine, Volume 8, page 250. I saw our instructor, Yahshua, pointing to the garments of the so-called righteousness. Stripping them off, he laid bare the defilement beneath. Then he said to me, And can you not see how they have pretentiously covered up their defilement and rottenness of the character? How is a faithful city becoming harder? My father's house is made a house of the merchandise, a place whence the divine presence and glory have departed. For this cause there is weakness, and strength is lacking. Thus we have the proof that every truth thus far has been polluted, including the Sabbath. The 40 days and what transpire within, that's our next subtitle. on page 125 of Shepherd's Rod, Volume 1. Thus far, the 390 years have been explained, and we shall now consider the 40 days or years after the Ezekiel had accomplished the 390 days, he was told to turn now onto his right side and lie on it 40 days. And after 390 days, he is not to eat anything, but fast the entire 40 days, and during this period of time, he must lie on his right side. As we have explained before, if one should be on his left side, the stomach cannot empty itself, but now he must be on his right side. This position would give his stomach a chance to empty itself. Naturally, if the stomach were empty and could not take other food, he would become hungry, symbol of the spiritual hunger. For the symbol is that the church has been on a spiritual decline for 40 years and has had no new spiritual food to feed upon. Some may say, we have the Bible and the testimony, and we feed on them. It is true. We have had them. But they have been closed to us, for we did not make proper use of the truth we have had. And it is a fact that the church has had no new light upon the scriptures that were not understood 40 years ago. For the 40-year period began in 1890, according unto the chart on pages 112 and 113, at which time the 390 years ended. The time was about elapsed, and now we must have food or else we shall die. And Yahweh in mercy has remembered his people and has sent them an invitation to draw near for another good feast. So that was time for the shepherd rod then to come with who you the rod and who hath appointed. Would you, brethren, draw near for the great supper, or will you make an excuse? Will you say, I have got a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it? I pray thee, have me excuse. Or will your answer be, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them? Or will it be that you have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come? Remember that the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind, from the highways and hedges, will not hesitate. The house will be filled, for I say unto you, that none of those then which were bidden shall taste of my supper. See Luke 14:16-24. 7 perfect numbers. In this prophecy we find there are only 6 portions, and only 6 steps have been made. Luther, Knox, Wesley, Campbell, Miller, and White. The number 6 is not a perfect number. It is evident then that there is still another portion to follow and a step to climb. 7 is the perfect portion. Seven is the perfect biblical number. For the question is, why was not the 7th portion included in this prophecy? Because the 6 were polluted. defile with the man's preparation. Man's thoughts and plans have been injected and followed, which is Yahweh's, and Yahweh's sight are as dumb. It is not to be so with the seventh, for it is the last. It must be pure. This last portion, pure and undefiled, is represented by the angel of the Revelation 18:1. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from the heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. It is at this time that the Isaiah's prophecy will be fulfilled. Isaiah 52:1-2. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth it shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion, Yahweh's pure church. Note the last part of the first verse. For henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. There has always been in the church the uncircumcised, the unclean, and unconverted in all her history. But here the prophet declares, there shall be no more. Let us give thanks unto our Yahweh for this precious promise and for the revelation of the word. Zephaniah also declared, for the remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. For the prophets and kings, page 27-25, we read, clad in the armor of Yahshua's righteousness, the church is to enter upon her final conflict, fair as a moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners. She is to go forth into all the world conquering and to conquer. For it could be explained that this brings us to the opening of the seventh seal of Revelation 8:1. The church on the seventh step under the seventh seal and in the seventh trumpet. By this we know we are on the borders of the eternity. With the lips of any of us utter the words, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. But how shall we attain this perfection? It will not be easy unless we make an effort. We shall never reach the mark, for the enemy is not leaving one string loose. He has interfered in all the way, in every step, and every part of the truth, and his plans are stronger now than ever before. Nevertheless, prophecy has declared that the 144,000 have not bowed a knee to Baal, and in their mouth is found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of the Yahweh. And at the present time, the denomination employs about 10,000 evangelical workers. But what will it be for 144,000 without guile, spot, or wrinkle, or any such thing filled with the Spirit of the Yahweh? A compass to blow. Such is the bargain, beginning of the seventh step. No wonder the prophet declared, the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no more come unto thee, and I shall make her a strong nation. Micah 4:7. While the prophecy of the 430 years finds its beginning with the Reformation by the Luther and others, the lesson is for this time. And the people at this age, there before has this prophecy been understood, and until now, no one ever received much from it. But when the time is fulfilled, Yahweh makes it known. Thus has he led his people on and on. The verse is not commented on will be considered now the siege. S-I-E-G-E. Now also, son of man, take thee a tile, and lay it before thee, and portray upon it the city, even Jerusalem. Ezekiel 4:1. For the Hebrew translation reads, engrave upon it a city, namely Jerusalem, the city, a symbol of the church membership. Ezekiel was told to engrave a city and call it Jerusalem, and it must be engraved upon it a tile. Paper or skin would not do, for it would not be as durable as tile. If it is engraved on a tile, it cannot be erased. For the thought is that the prophecy will surely come to pass, and after it once becomes history, one cannot erase the things portrayed. It is there to stay through all ages. For the tile mentioned here is not manufactured. It is a natural luminar tile and quarried in large self-separated slabs, which in certain sections of that country is found in a great abundance. It has been largely or exclusively used for the roofing and flooring. Ezekiel 4:2. And lay siege against it, and build a fort against it, and cast a mount against it. Set the camp also against it, and set battering rams against it round about. Lay siege against it, that is, invade the city, the church, by an army to compel its surrender. Endeavor to obtain possession of the city, the church, and build a fort against it. A fort around a city makes it secure. So build a fort against it means to make sure that none escape, and cast a mount. The word mount in the Greek translation is rendered prohomata, meaning ramparts, which is an embankment surrounding a fort, thus making every effort and precaution to secure the city. Set the camp also against it. That is, make temporary lodging places. For the thought is, make a preparation to remain there until you have conquered the city and set battering rams against it round about, or as is in the margin, chief leaders mean as an instrument with which to blow or strike. Ram is a male sheep which is used as a symbol of Yahweh's men, and they are to batter around about until the city is taken. For the instrument which they batter with is a clear cutting and convincing Bible truth. The city of Jerusalem is the Yahweh's church, namely the Seventh-day Adventist Israel. So Yahweh himself organized his church by a prophet, and there is a great deal of a difference between this church and the church during the Reformation from the Luther's time onward. whether Yahweh permitted his people to be voted out of the church by the majority in the times past, and they were compelled to start another movement until the next step they were to make, and so on. In this case, Yahweh is to deal with the entire body, those who sign and cry for the abominations that are done, and the church will be sealed. And say will be sealed by the man with the writer's ink on. Those who are determined to do evil, that is, do contrary unto the rules laid down by the Spirit of Yahweh through the testimonies for the church, will be destroyed by the five men with the slaughter weapons of Ezekiel 9. None can escape, for the city is besieged, fortified, and made sure. It is a fact that in every age where Yahweh demonstrated his truth and purpose in a clear line, after being rejected, that the people suffered the vengeance of the all-powerful and great Yahweh. For instance, the antediluvian cities of the Sodom, Egypt, Canaanites, Babylon, and ancient Jerusalem. Separation in principle. Moreover, take thou unto thee an iron pan, and set it for a wall of iron between thee and the city, and set thy face against it, and it shall be besieged, and thou shalt lay siege against it. This shall be a sign to the house of Israel. Ezekiel 4:3. Take thou an iron pan, and set it for a wall of iron between thee and the city, the Seventh day Adventist church. Okay, so this is for the house of David, but the seventh grain of doctrine, which is pure and perfect, which is the mustard seed, representing the seventh grain. And set it for a wall of iron between thee and the church. The city, a symbol of an impregnable separation between the two classes. This does not mean that they do not see or speak to one another, but a separation in principle, rule or God, and set thy face against it. As a general of the army sets his face against another nation with the intent to conquer, this shall be a sign to the house of Israel. The sign is unto those who are marked or sealed, namely the 144,000, for they are the true Israel of today, of the 12th prophetic hour, time of the spiritual hunger. Moreover, he said unto the Son of Man, behold, I will break his staff of bread in Jerusalem, and they shall eat bread by the weight and with terror, and they shall drink water by the measure and with astonishment, that they may want bread and water and be astonished one with another, and send him away for their iniquity. Ezekiel 4:16-17. For the 13th verse applies to the time of the 390 years, Ezekiel 4:16-17, and to the time of the 40 years. The beginning of the 16th verse shows that there is a break in the prophecy. Or we read, moreover, he said unto me, that is, he said, or furthermore, I will break the staff of bread in Jerusalem. I will cut down or set it on the decree, that they shall eat bread by weight and with care, and drink water by measure and with astonishment, that is, sparingly, until their supply of bread is exhausted, and they become hungry, astonishment, that is, we would say that we have the truth or Yahweh's people, but we do not understand why thus and so power is lacking and there is something wrong. For the 17th verse is the fulfillment of the prophecy contained in Ezekiel 4:16. For the Dewey version seems to make it clearer, from which Ezekiel 4:17 is here quoted, so that when bread and water fail, every man may fail against his brother, and they may pine away in their iniquity. For the beginning of the verse in the Greek and Bulgarian are the same, with the exception that the word people is used instead of brother. The Hebrew translation renders, in order that they may want bread and water and be confounded one with the other and pine away for their iniquity, so that when bread and water fail, every man may fail. Or that word may be fall, may fall. Okay. Doing. That is, in the time of the 40-year period, they will exhaust their supply of bread and water, spiritual, and become real hungry, so that they may discover their mistake. According to Testimonies of Ministries, page 419, Yahweh requires certain things of his people if they say, I will not give up my heart to do this thing. Yahweh lets them go on in their supposed wise judgment without having any wisdom until this scripture, Isaiah 28:13, is fulfilled. You are not to say, I will follow the Yahweh's guidance up until a certain point. That is in a harmony with my judgment. And then hold fast to your own ideas, refusing to be molded after Yeshua's similitude. Let the question be asked, is this the will of the Yeshua? Not. Is this the opinion of the judgment of so-and-so, that the word of Yeshua was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken, Isaiah 28:13. Testimony of the Ministers, pages 105 to 107. We are not to think, as did the Jews, that our own ideas and opinions are infallible, nor with the papers, as certain individuals are the sole guardians of the truth and knowledge, that men have no right to search the scriptures for themselves, but must accept the explanations given by the fathers of the church. Those who allow prejudice to bar the truth against the reception of the truth cannot receive the divine enlightenment. Yet, when a view of the scripture is presented, many do not ask, is it true, in harmony with the Yahweh's word? But by whom is it advocated? And unless it comes through the very channel that pleases them, they do not accept it. So thoroughly satisfied are they with their own ideas that they will not examine the scriptures evident with a desire to learn, but refuse to be interested merely because of their prejudices. For Yahshua often works where we least expect him. He surprises us by the revealing his power through the instruments of his own choice. While he passes by the men unto whom we have looked as those through whom a light should come. Yahweh desires us to receive the truth upon his own merits, because it is the truth, that beware of rejecting that which is the truth, for the great danger with our people has been that of the depending upon a man and making flesh their arm. Those who have not been in the habit of searching the Bible for themselves, of weighing evidence, have confidence in the leading man and accept the decisions they make, and thus many will reject the very messages Yahweh sends to his people if these leading brethren do not accept. This brings in verse 30, so contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. This is message, but we're going to close now with a song. His eye is on the sparrow. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? With Yahshua is my portion, my constant friend is he. His heart is on the sparrow, and oh, he watches me. His heart is on the sparrow, and oh, he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His heart is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender prayer I hear, and resting on his goodness, I lose my doubts and fear. Though far the path he leadeth, but one step I may see. His heart is on the sparrow, and oh, he watches me. His heart is on the sparrow, and oh, he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His heart is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighing, when hope dear within me dies, I draw the closer to him. From care he sets me free. His heart is on the sparrow, and only cares for me. His heart is on the sparrow, and only cares for me. I sing because I'm happy.
home.